And you're listening to WBAI New York, and this is Off the Hook. And a very good evening to one and all. This is Emmanuel Goldstein. We're here every other Wednesday night from 9 to 10 talking about technology, hackers, and all kinds of fun things like that. Our telephone number is 279-3400. We'll be taking a couple of calls a little later on in the program. Hopefully more than a couple. But first, let's take an all-too-brief look at what's been going on in the world of technology. We haven't done this in a while because we've been so caught up in the war coverage and various other things. We had Robert Horvitz here 2 weeks ago talking about shortwave and the mysteries within that. But tonight, it's the uses and abuses of high tech. And high tech can abuse you just as easily as you can abuse it, so you have to stay awake. Speaking of staying awake, you have to stay alive, too, which someone in Amsterdam did not do. They died. They died in their apartment, and they stayed there for a few months. Yeah, it's a kind of a bizarre story. A police officer heard from the caretaker of the apartment building that he recently removed a large pile of mail for the victim from his mailbox. Actually, I don't know if you'd call somebody who dies of natural causes a victim, but let's call him that for now. The occupant, who did not wish to have contact with his neighbors, had not been seen for a long time. And when the police forced the door of the man, the inanimate body of the man was found. The skin of the man looked like leather. Now, why am I talking about this? Okay. Because the rent, and because the natural gas, and because the electricity were all automatically transferred. Nobody missed him. The man also automatically received an amount transferred into his bank account every month. And not one institution missed the man. Can you imagine that? Dying in your apartment and sitting there for months? And not even being hounded by creditors. All thanks to technology. Simply beautiful. Yeah, beautiful, that's the word. We have another story. This is from the Risks Digest, which is a computer circulated newsletter. Comes out on computer, doesn't come out on paper unless you print it on paper, as I have done. I received, this is from a poor sucker in Utah, I believe. I received notice from my insurance company that my automobile insurance was being raised drastically, 4 times, as I recall. And after deciphering the code that gives the reason for a rate increase, I found that I had been booked for a DWI, driving while intoxicated. First, I found this amusing, as I don't drink at all. I called the insurance company to clear up what was an obvious mistake, and found that not only did they disbelieve me, but I was given a lecture on driving and drinking. In order for them to change, I had to supply them with proof that I did not have a DWI in triplicate, as well as a character witness. They made the mistake, yet I was given the burden of proof, not only of my not having committed the alleged offense, but of my personal integrity as well. And no, they had the facts and did not see any reason to verify them. At the Driver's License Bureau, my record was as clean as I thought it to be. I got the printout for a fee, and then had it notarized for another fee. It was a slow day, and the clerk was amused by my little story. So, he started playing with my driver's license number to see if a juxtaposition mistake had been made. We finally found the offender. And he had the same last name, and hence in Utah, the same driver's license number, but with an additional postfix character. After sending this information, along with a letter from a couple of people who know me, stating they had never seen me ingest alcohol, I was out $21 cash and had missed a few hours of work. I then received a call from the insurance company, who instead of apologizing for the mistake, cross-examined me on every point. I finally broke off with this person by threatening to sue unless they corrected their mistake. Needless to say, I changed insurance companies. A tale of woe from Stephen Sears, somewhere in Utah. And we have increasing numbers of people that generally believe anything that the computer says. You ever have a situation like that? You know, these are the people that are in charge. These are the people that make the decisions. These are the people behind the counters. These are the people behind the controls. And one such person works in a hardware store. This incident happened to, somebody who didn't say where he lived. His name is Steve Belovin. Happened to me a few Saturdays ago. I needed to pick up some 12-gauge electrical cable. I browsed past the 14-gauge coils, then picked up a 25-foot coil of 12-gauge. The price was about twice what the 14-gauge cost. Odd and unreasonable. I checked further. The 25-foot coil of 12-gauge cost exactly the same as a 50-foot coil. That price, in turn, was slightly more than the same length of 14-gauge. Ah, someone put the wrong sticker on the 25-foot coil, I thought. There was a clerk standing nearby. I pointed out the error to him. He consulted a handy printout. Nope, it's priced correctly, see? And sure enough, the printout showed that 25 feet and 50 feet of 12-gauge wire cost the same thing. I tried pointing out that that was unreasonable. He shrugged and walked away. Having a bit of time, I decided to tell the manager. It took a bit of explaining to get my point across. One of the two individuals I was speaking to didn't understand anything I was saying. After all, the computer had the price as the sticker. What was the problem? I finally made myself understood, but to no avail. Store prices were set from the regional computer center a few towns away, and nothing could be done until the office reopened on Monday. I'm sure we've all run into people like that. We call them droids. Droids, D-R-O-I-D-S. And they're a perfect consequence of the cash society, says Michael Dwyer. Cash society is also known as capitalism. Capital, which includes money and rich people, seeks to maintain power and control. Free-thinking, independent people are too prone to upsetting the status quo. Remember that. More importantly, they're expensive since they are individuals instead of a bulk commodity. Engineering is the discipline of reducing production from that which requires a craftsman to that which a droid can do. Computer-based systems, cash registers that make change, and countless other high-tech innovations exist solely for the purpose of de-skilling work. Converting production from a dignified act with deep psychological gratification to assembly lines and other droid jobs is a trend clear since the beginning of the Industrial Revolution. And Bob Sutterfield writes, I have found that droids often expect to talk to other droids, so if one creatively molds one's behavior into the droid pattern, often significant advantages can be reaped. For instance, when trying to convince a droid to send me an XXX component to replace a critical but broken XXX widget here, I have been known to resort to saying something like, I sure wish you could get that down to the shipping dock this afternoon rather than tomorrow morning. My boss is breathing down my neck, and he doesn't like being told that XXX isn't working. This invariably elicits sympathy in the droid on the other end of the phone, who then tries to help out a fellow droid in trouble. In real life, I have considered autonomy from my supervisors and whatever flexibility I really need to get my job done. Very un-droid-like attributes, but there's no need to tell the droid that. Let the droid think that all the world's a droid. He or she will feel good about doing something to help another droid, and I'll get my XXX fixed a day faster. How many droids have you talked to today? Well, every time you pick up the phone, you're likely to find one or two of them. You know, people that you're talking to them, and they're not hearing you. They're accessing their computer. They're looking at what the computer is telling them, and even though it makes absolutely no sense whatsoever, it's their Bible. It's the gospel. Okay, before we pick up the telephone, let's take a quick look at the risks of voicemail. The phone companies are starting to offer voicemail. You know, the phone companies are actually offering the equivalent of answering machines, and it's just so much more convenient, isn't it? Because you no longer have to have an answering machine. Something else to lose. It's all there in your phone. Somebody calls you, you're not home, and a message gets stored somewhere on a huge computer. And then you can call and get that message back from any phone. And if you think about it for more than a few seconds, anybody could call and get that same message with the right information. Well, according to an anonymous contributor to the Risks Digest, the insidious risks of telephone companies' centralized voicemail services aren't really when they don't work, it's when they do work. True, nice long personal identification numbers known as PINs. Nice long PINs being available for the users is a nice feature, but how many people will ever bother to use them? Given the choice, most people pick short, simple sequences. One must wonder, how many choose 1234 or 4321 as their PINs? It might be argued that, given the increasingly short PINs available on newer answering machines, 3 digits is typical, 2 is not rare, and sometimes not even all of those digits can be changed by the user. The telephone company PINs are more secure, potentially true if used properly. But the real danger is all those nice messages spinning around on the disks down at the phone company. Of course, we all trust the phone company completely. And when they tell us that nobody will have access to those messages but authorized persons, we believe them, don't we? Sure. Encryption systems with the user entering a key could be implemented. That would be moderately more secure. Though, of course, you'd have no way to know that the system isn't recording your keys. But even that level of security is not implemented nor planned in any of the phone company offerings. In any case, phone company personnel would never just snoop on people's messages, right? The fact that for years it was common for speakers to be hooked up in central offices so that night shift workers could listen in on interesting lines. Just for laughs, right? Well, that shouldn't impact our thinking about today's totally honest and upright phone companies. And of course, nobody who isn't doing something wrong should be concerned about the potential for law enforcement or other agencies to go to Telco, the phone company, and demand access to the messages, probably using the same sort of court orders used to do wiretaps in the case of legal taps. And we all know the government never does illegal taps. But just think, all those nice messages, all in one place. And even better, assuming the phone company keeps or is ordered to keep backups and archives of their data, and what diligent phone company wouldn't keep backups, it could be possible for an agency to go in and not only pick up a person's current messages, but their past messages as well, perhaps going back for months or even years. Now, that's service. But these sort of things would never happen, right? And after all, you were able to get rid of your answering machine, and you don't really care who listens to your boring old personal messages anyway, do you? And if you can't trust the phone company, who can you trust? Well, the program is off the hook. And we're talking about the phone company, as we always do, and about the various computers and credit agencies that we find so interesting. And it's always fun to play around and try to bend the system a little bit. You ever try to, you get a check at a restaurant and you try to pay a little bit of it in cash and a little bit of it on a credit card? It drives them crazy. They don't know what to do. They can't figure it out because the computer says one thing and you're trying to do something else. If you ever need a good laugh, that's always good for at least 20 minutes or so. Well, this is something interesting that actually just happened to me 2 days ago. It gives you a sense that they're out there, you know? They're keeping track, watching over your shoulder. I have this Visa card, a real Visa card, you know, the one I use, and then I have this one I don't use because they have a interest rate of about 400% or something. The minute you start using it, it's a clock goes off and the horses are running. And every now and then, like about every month or so, they send me a check. Yeah, they send me a check and they want me to deposit this check. Because the moment I deposit the check, the interest starts piling up. So I'm used to getting checks from these folks. But I wasn't expecting what they did a couple of days ago. They sent me a check for a certain amount of money, and then attached to the check was an itemization of how I should spend it. They said, well, this amount goes to pay off your Visa bill, this amount goes to pay off your Sears credit card, and they had all my bills itemized. They had actually taken it upon themselves to go into my credit rating, see what I owed, and write me a check for the entire amount, say, hey, pay off all your bills and just owe us, and just pay us from now on. And I was left with such a warm feeling. A warm feeling of rage. And one more fun story, and then we'll go live, take some phone calls, be just like a party, and only $10 a minute? What do you say? No. What do we charge for phone calls here? We don't charge anything for phone calls. We can just call up and have all of New York City and the surrounding area be bombarded by your voice in the form of radio waves. Now, you think that was bad. This poor person got, he didn't pay his phone bill with U.S. Sprint, so he got a letter from the National Collection and Debt Recovery Service on behalf of U.S. Sprint. And he got this computer-generated letter. It's all in uppercase. We know a lot about you, David Blank. We know where you live. We know your telephone number. In many cases, we even know where you work. After all, that information was requested when U.S. Sprint extended credit to you, and you know a lot about U.S. Sprint long-distance telephone service. Otherwise, you wouldn't have placed an order for that service. Since we know so much about each other, how about paying what you owe U.S. Sprint? And the amount that the man owed, by the way, was $14.95. Incredible. You know, something changed. I don't know if it's changed here. It's changed in some parts of New York State. Let's get on the blower right now and see if it changed here. Do you know, when you... we've played this quite a few times on this program, actually. The automated repair service. Automated repair. Used to be you call up and you get an operator. And you tell the operator what's wrong, you know. Well, phone's broken, and you know, to tell her the various symptoms, and she sends a man over to fix it. You know, that was the old-fashioned way. The newfangled way, you get connected to this android who says, "This is the new quick way to fix your telephone. Press 1 if you want to continue. Press 2 if you don't want to continue. Press 3 if you don't have a touch-tone phone, etc." And you just keep going on and on and on, and eventually you go through every single possibility there is as to what could be wrong with your telephone, and after about 15 minutes on the phone, you finally finish reporting your problem. It's that simple. Well, rumor has it that that system is no more. Now, I'm going to try accessing it right now, even as we speak, and hopefully the call will go through the first time.
Using Miss CD, may I have the area code and I'll be reporting?
Hello, is this a human being or a computer?
What do I sound like?
You sound like a human, but I was wondering because there was a computer on here only about a week ago, wasn't there?
And sometimes the computer picks up when we are busy.
I see, but not anymore. I mean, not when you're not busy.
No.
Okay, you see, I'm calling from WBAI Radio, and we're sort of doing a story about this, and we were wondering if a lot of people were complaining or if the phone company has changed in any way.
Well, honey, I'm not supposed to discuss this with you. You're supposed to call customer service.
Uh-huh. They're not open right now, are they?
Yeah. Call 212.
Yeah.
395.
395.
2552.
2552?
Mm-hmm.
They're open right now?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thanks for calling.
Have a good night.
Good night.
Should we call customer service? Oh, let's call customers. I didn't think they were open this time, but why not? Get to the bottom of this story. Once and for all. Okay, we are connecting to customer service. Customer service is ringing.
President Helpline, Miss Mason.
Yes, hello. I'm calling from WBAI Radio in New York. We're doing a live on-air documentary about the repair service and why there isn't a computer picking up anymore. Could you tell us anything about that?
I'm afraid I cannot answer that question, sir. You have to speak to someone from our news department.
Our news department? Okay, what's their number?
I would have to have someone get back to you.
Uh-huh.
On that.
Okay.
They're not available at this hour. We have to contact someone and have them reach you.
I see, so they'd have to call me back.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what. I'll call you tomorrow, and I'll make an arrangement for that.
Oh, okay.
All right, thanks so much for your help, though.
Call is 212.
Yeah.
395.
Yeah.
0500.
And what number is that?
That is the number for the news department during the day.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Notice how I got it out of her in the end. Yeah, the number for the news department. So, okay, we won't, should I try calling it anyway? She said it was closed. It would be a direct disobeying of her order, but, what are we here for but to disobey orders? Okay, we'll just try that, and then we have a special guest who just popped in. We're going to say hello to that person. Wouldn't it be something if she picked up? I told you not to call this number. I've had that happen. I've gotten the same operator twice in a row sometimes.
President's help, I'm Mr. Maloney.
Yes, hello. Is this the news department?
Hello?
Hello?
Yes.
Is this the news department?
News department?
Of the phone company.
Yes.
It is. Hi, I'm calling live from WBAI Radio in New York.
Yes.
And we're doing kind of an on-air documentary about the old computer on the repair service and why it's not answering anymore. Was that a very popular service?
The old computer?
Well, you know, when you called 611, you get a an automated repair service.
Yes.
And now you don't seem to get that anymore.
What do you get?
You get a human. Just like in the old days.
Hold on, let me check into that.
Okay. Maybe I uncovered a scandal here, huh? Well, while he's going to check that out, we have this story from the Associated Press. The State Department of Labor has enacted a computerized system that allows employers to access profiles of potential employees. The department says the system is the first computerized system in the nation. Labor Commissioner Raymond Bramucci says employers will be able to access many resumes of workers who can...
We still have it in operation upstate.
Upstate, but not down...
Not everywhere.
Okay. Because it seemed to be answering a lot more than it's answering now. And we were just wondering if it was being phased out or upgraded or something like that.
No, it hasn't changed in quite a while.
Uh-huh. So it's still around, but just not as prevalent.
Right.
Okay. Thanks very much for helping us.
Welcome, Pat.
All right. Very helpful. Phone company is always willing to reach out a hand and do something with it. Labor Commissioner Raymond Bramucci says employers will be able to access many resumes of workers who can meet their employment and training needs. Dubbed the mini resume system, the program will be available to any employer with a personal computer and modem by calling 1-800-772-RESUME. Actually, 800-772-RESUME will work too. Or 609-984-1380 or 609-984-1381. I have no idea what happens if you call those numbers, but Associated Press sent them over to us, so we're sending them over to you and report back to us. And do keep those cards and letters and telegrams and whatever else coming into the radio station, because we always like to explore new computer systems, new telephone systems and oddities and things like that, and any kind of development. Our address is Off the Hook, care of WBAI Radio, 505 8th Avenue, New York, New York, 10018. This is Emmanuel Goldstein. Our telephone number is 212-279-3400. And we have in the studio with us now a famous former hacker who you may have read about in various newspapers, magazines, maybe even TV programs. This is Fiber Optic. Let me make sure I have the right microphone on. You there, Fiber?
Yes, I'm here.
I can call you Fiber, I hope.
Well, call me Optic.
Optic? Okay, yeah. Fine. Optic. Optic spelled with a K, by the way. Mr. Optic has come in here today to answer questions that anybody might have out there regarding what in particular?
Regarding, I guess, hacking in general.
Hacking in general. What is hacking? Who are the hackers? Are the hackers the biggest threat to mankind since, I don't know, since the... whoever the last threat to mankind was. Our number is 212-279-3400. You know, there's a conference in the city tomorrow, a virus conference, and a lot of computer security people are going to be there talking about this very such issue. I don't know if any of them are out there listening now, but we'll certainly have something to report on in a couple of weeks to see just what happened there. Some of the biggest minds in the business, I guess, will be there both Thursday and Friday, and it's taking place at World Trade Center, and I don't know many more details than that. It's taking place Thursday and Friday. Perhaps you can define for us what hacking is, in your view. I know it's a tough question, and one you probably get asked all the time, but it's required, like, part of the agreement here.
Well, I guess hacking is just... It's just what drives people to want to master technology and understand everything they possibly can about it. And sometimes, in one's adventures, one might fracture a law or two.
Fracture a law, okay. Would you say technology is a necessary element to hacking? Is it possible to be a hacker without using technology?
Well, people can bend the word and what it means. And
were there hackers in the 18th century, for instance?
Well, some people would say that the first person that rubbed two sticks together in a cave was a hacker. And the way I see it, hacking is just a way of thinking. It's a way of relating to what you have at hand and using it to the best of your ability.
Okay. All right. That sounds good to me. If you have any questions for the program or for Fiber Optic, now it's time to call in 212-279-3400. And let's see who's out there. Good evening.
Hi.
How you doing?
Excellent show. Point of information. Over a month ago, Emmanuel, you did a show where you were calling very remote parts of this country. And in that, you were calling like relays, some sort of stations.
Right.
I don't know if you remember, but one...
Toll stations.
Right. You got to a place called Shoup, Idaho.
Yeah, and I found that they actually aren't a toll station anymore.
Well, they are the last place, and they may be gone now, in America that have crank phones.
I think they may be gone now.
They might be.
I can't be 100% sure, but I think they might be.
That's enough incentive for me to visit that place. It's so remote, you know, that on a map it's hard to find, even a detailed map of the state. And that was a you connected into an actual party line in that little community.
Right.
But the people there use the old-fashioned... I just found it fascinating that you happened to tap into the one place in America that is the last place that, you know, one can find that antiquated...
Well, you know, there's a lot of oddities out there. You'll still find step-by-step switching systems. In fact, a nearby one, probably the nearest one, is Fisher's Island, right off Long Island out east. They're operating on a step system. You'll find all kinds of other things. For instance, up in, I think it's New Hampshire, they have these things called dial-less payphones. Payphones without dials. You call the operator. I don't know how you call the operator, but I guess you pick up the phone. The operator eventually answers, and you tell her you're at a dial-less payphone, and you have to be connected to something, and they connect you without charging you additional money. I can't for the life of me imagine the point of a payphone without a dial. I guess it's less moving parts, but still, it seems kind of silly.
Yeah, just the interesting parts of this country are still lagging several years behind technology, and not that that matters, but once that goes, I don't know what's left, you know.
Well, it's, you know, some parts are lagging behind others, but other parts are moving in different directions. I mean, you can walk around New York City and see 20 different kinds of payphones in the course of an hour.
Yeah.
Most of the alternate ones are horrible ripoffs, I'll admit, but some of them are interesting. Some of them do provide some services.
Hey, you once had a show where you actually phoned, and you could hear the sounds of the street?
Yeah, we had a payphone that has a built-in monitor in it and allows you to spy on whoever is there.
When I was living in London, there was one phone booth in the Camden Town tube station where you could phone anywhere in the world for free. One phone until so many people... Someone let the cat out of the bag, and of course British Telecom came along and closed that line off. But
yeah.
It's interesting. This show is one of the unique aspects of New York radio, and the fact that it's on BAI makes it all the better. And I just wanted to thank you for your work. It's fascinating stuff.
Well, I'm glad you're enjoying it so much. Okay, 212-279-3400. And I might also add, as kind of a self-promotion, I guess, that the new edition of 2600 is out, and all kinds of interesting things, like a story about a political hacker, somebody in a political party that was actually hacking into the opponent's computer and reading files, and how is a big hush-up, and nobody really wants to talk about it in either circle. There's also a bit on rip-offs, okay? There's a lot of things about rip-offs in here. I won't get into it, but so many services are rip-offs. And you got to know what you're getting yourself into. So many people, so many agencies want to charge you money and rip you off in many ways. And educated consumer is a vanishing thing, for sure. 212-279-3400. We have Fiber Optic here answering questions and any other general things you might have. Dial tone. How did we get one of those? Yeah, it's better. Good evening.
Hi, I wanted to really thank you for the program. I was going to ask your guest, Mr. Fiber Optic, for advice about how to learn about hacking from somebody who's just a beginner. I heard her on the other program about Stephen James' book Games, and I just was going to just ask you to, you know, if you could share with us how one learns about the hacking and mastering technology. And I'll hang up and listen to the answer.
Okay. I guess best response to that question, one very good way, obviously, would be to read 2600. It would put you in contact with a wide variety of different types of people that are involved in hacking, some good things and some not so good ways, and that's one way. There are various underground newsletters that do tend to report on the computer underground. There's another one, Intertech, which is put out by Frank Drake on the West Coast.
That just started. In fact, we just got the first issue of that, and it's a very impressive looking publication.
Yeah, and typical things like that. If usually, once you get into contact with one such publication, it usually branches off from there, and you're able to get in contact with various different other types of people, whether directly or indirectly, and the results can be interesting.
What about computer bulletin boards? Are there any of those left?
Well, I wouldn't be so bold as to say that there are any respectable hacking bulletin boards anymore, because obviously there aren't, despite what...
But why is that? Have they all been taken away, and hackers aren't going to put them back up?
It's sort of a mixture of people not wanting to run them anymore for fear of being raided by law enforcement types.
Mm-hmm.
And the press has been taking steps sort of to smear the hacking image, to depict them as criminals and lawbreakers and threat to society.
Okay. Our number is 212-279-3400. Good evening.
3400.
And turn down your radio, please. Hello?
Hello.
Go ahead.
I'd just like to ask him what kind of communication program he needs. I need to start a hacking.
Well, first of all, you need something in your psyche, I guess. That's the first kind of software you need. You need to have a desire to go out and explore things and find things and ask a lot of questions. What is it in particular you're interested in?
Well, I just want to know, you know, what kind of communication program you need to put on the computer.
What kind of computer do you have?
IBM.
IBM, there's all kinds. Procom.
There's one.
You know, that's a very simple thing to, you can just get a dozen programs. I mean, Procom is fine. Get that and just start dialing and connecting to things.
Well, if I may elaborate.
Yeah.
Hacking doesn't necessarily mean using terminal software with a modem. You can be hacking in the comfort of your own home without even picking up a telephone, just by exploring that world inside your computer.
How do you do that? You have to call up another computer, right?
Not necessarily. Hacking has a lot to do with programming and mastery of operating systems and languages and things of that nature. It doesn't necessarily entail being connected to another computer.
A lot of the magic is there, though, when you do connect to to other systems. It's that first thrill when you actually connect to another computer. But Fiber is right. There is a lot to be seen within your computer. Unless you have a Commodore or something, I don't know. but it's an incredible, and the telephone too is an incredible instrument. For those of you that don't have computers, there's so much to explore on the telephones. You know, it's
like what?
There's all kinds of voicemail systems.
I have the Prodigy services, and that's the only one that I could connect to.
Uh huh.
I was wondering, you know, if there were different softwares that I could call up different companies.
Well, I would not recommend Prodigy based upon the woes they've been having recently with freedom of speech. Apparently, is sort of a conflict of interest there. I would suggest getting a hold of a bulletin board that allows you to communicate. The Well is one that comes to mind out in San Francisco, and a good way to connect to San Francisco without incurring too much of a charge is to get a service known as PC Pursuit, which is offered by is it still GT? Or it's just Telenet now.
Sprintnet,
whatever. Yeah. They keep changing their names. But for $30 a month, you can get 30 hours of connect time, which is a really good deal. You can get connect time anywhere in the country. And that way you'll be able to to hook into a lot of other people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the secret. Once you start exchanging ideas, you'll see the magic.
Okay? All right, thanks a lot.
Thanks for calling. 279-3400. Good evening.
Hello.
How you doing?
Pretty good. I was interested in what he was saying about computers. I was dialing a London number, and I was getting the wrong number. And the machine kept coming on and saying, "You've dialed, your call can't be completed as dialed. Please call 212-6T. And I called 6T.
Oh, boy.
I'm in a New York area code, and it just says it's a recording.
No, no.
And I just tried it again, and that's exactly what it says 2 weeks later.
No, no. 212-6T is a label put on the recording that you heard. Maybe.
But, I mean, that's what they're referring me to.
If I can
explain. My number couldn't be completed. They
right.
were saying dial for assistance, see, dial 212-6T, which I dialed 6T, and it kept saying, this is a recording.
Wait, how did you dial 6T?
I just dialed 6T. I'm in the New York area code.
Yeah, but what did you dial for T? 8?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. You just dialed 6-8, in other words.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's interesting, but the 6T, I don't know exactly how it was phrased, but those recordings, first of all, they give you an area code that tells you where the recording came from, and then an identifier of sorts. 6T was the identifier. I don't know if fiber optic knows what that
saying,
means.
You know, this is AT&T long line saying, uh-huh. you know, your phone, your call can't be completed. For assistance, dial 212-68, right?
Uh-huh.
Then you get a machine that just says, this is a recording.
You know,
I
suspect what happened was the actual recording, which probably was cut off, but sometimes the tapes go crazy, it should have said, call your operator for assistance, 212-6T. That's how it should have gone.
Yeah, well, I called an operator, and I got the number correct. She gave me two numbers for London, and I happened to guess the right one, and I got my party. But I told her that I was dialing this number, and they were saying... 2 weeks ago that I told her, I said, you know, I dialed this number, and they were telling for assistance, call this number, 6-8, which I did,
okay.
And it's still 2 weeks later, it's still the same.
Well,
I just wanted to point this out as an oddity, you know.
I'll keep my eye open for that one, all right?
Right.
Thanks for sharing that with us, though.
Right, okay then, bye.
Okay. There are quite a few neat recordings out there, but... You shouldn't try dialing 6T. I know that's not going to work. You just know those kind of things aren't going to work. I don't know. Have you ever dialed anything interesting? I'm sure you have.
Scores of things that I'd probably get in trouble for mentioning.
Well, name one that you won't get in trouble for mentioning. Just, you know, an interesting busy signal or something.
Let me think. Let's see. Well, I guess a funny one probably would have been... an old switching system in Brooklyn before it was cut over to a newer switching computer. It sounded like a pulsing dial tone.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. That, in fact, that was a favorite for people all over the country.
Yeah.
Everybody knew about that one. Used to be that busy signals would always sound different. You know? In fact, let's see if we can do a very brief demonstration here and then go back to the phones. What do we call electronic switching? Has a certain kind of busy signal, all right?
Right.
Now, this is an electronic switching system busy signal, known as an ESS busy. Okay, sounds kind of electronic, I guess, is the best way to do that. Okay, now we're going to hear a mechanical crossbar busy signal, and you'll see the difference. This one is a bit more harsh, a bit more irritating to the ear, a bit more old-fashioned. Now, there's people that can't tell the difference between those two, and I pity them, but there's a mechanical relay going there. Now, there's also ones with much deeper baritone busies. You wouldn't have the know any exchanges off the top of your head, would you, of old number one crossbars in Queens or Brooklyn.
Well, there wouldn't be any more in Queens or Brooklyn.
That's
Brooklyn.
Right. They got rid of them all, didn't
yeah.
they?
Yeah. Oh, I know there's still some upstate in rural New York.
Uh-huh. Let me see if I can connect to... there's one in particular that's one of my favorites. It's an old step system. Okay, we're trying to connect to interesting-sounding busy signals and dial tones and things like that. Oh, that's bad. That shouldn't be there. Hold on.
You have dialed an invalid account code.
Oh, forget that then. Okay, let's go back to the telephones. Enough of this demonstration here. Good evening.
Hi. I'm a BII listener up in Poughkeepsie. And up until about 4 months ago, when I would call in to be on the air on the station, sometimes, you know, if there's many callers before me, I would have to wait maybe 10, 15 minutes. Well, after about 10 minutes, my line would be interrupted with a recorded message that just said, your call did not go through. And this really irritated me, and I tried to call the phone company and find out the reason why this would happen, and they said, well, we have no idea, and there's no way we can change it, and it just seemed to disappear on its own. Now, regardless of how long I have to wait, the line still rings. Do you have any explanation of what that was?
I think fiber optic does.
Yeah, very simply, in newer electronic switching systems installed by the phone company, it would purposely intercept your telephone call in progress if it was ringing in excess of 10 to 15 minutes.
Yeah.
This is largely due to the fact that in older switching systems, which were not computer controlled, one would trick the phone company into thinking that if someone called them, they could hook up a such and such a device to the phone line that would trick the phone company's equipment into thinking that the phone was ringing, sometimes for hours. And what that would do, in relation to that, what would happen is that someone could place a call. Phone company's equipment would think the line was still ringing, and the people could carry on a conversation.
Oh, I see. So it's to foil somebody cheating the phone company.
Pretty much, yeah.
Well, it's also the fact that the phone company isn't getting any revenue from you sitting on there ringing a line. You know.
Yeah, I understand that part, but that's pretty petty thinking. I mean.
Oh, it definitely is. But you know, I don't think that's happening on our end. Is it possible to do that on the originating end?
That's where it happens, on the originating end.
Yeah. Also, it's something else I wanted to mention, that what seems to be a problem on BII lately is from the other end. Like just now, I heard your voice cutting on and off, and I've been hearing this as a complaint from outside callers coming in on the air. I just wondered if there's something generally with the phone system where you're being interfered with.
I think
the on-air voice is clear. You know, me coming to you is unbroken, but you coming to me just cut off a few times while we were talking.
I think that's something endemic in our operating board here at BAI. But
it'd be nice if it could get ironed out, because it's on long distance calls it sometimes interferes with them. Well, I'm going to hang up and listen. I enjoy the show very much.
Okay, take care. Call from Poughkeepsie there. I have to take issue with what you just said, Fiber, as far as it being on the originating end, that particular service, I guess you call it, where it cuts off to a certain number of rings. I know of one system on the island that after about 25 rings, it's a DMS-100 Northern Telecom switching system, it will always give you a reorder, fast busy signal, and it's coming from there.
Right.
I mean, that's what's doing it. Now, it's yes, certainly likely that other systems do it on the originating end, but there are ones that do
it. Oh, sure, yeah.
On the receiving end. It's, you know, thank God our switch here, our telephone switch does not do that, because all of the people calling us, can you imagine all of you people out there now ringing the phone, sitting there waiting patiently to be picked up, not knowing if you're going to be gotten to tonight? All of you people, you would have to keep calling back, because after 20 rings, it would go to a fast busy signal. What a horrible system that is, but it could very well be in your future if you allow it to happen. Good evening.
Hello.
How you doing?
I called up the 800 number for resumes with Procom, hoping that my resume would be there, since I registered with the New York State Department of Labor looking for work. And when I dial 772 resume, R-E-S-U-M, which would be 7378, I get a recording saying that the number is not accessible from my area.
Okay, that means you're probably calling from...
718.
718, yeah, New York. I think the 800 part is only for New Jersey, but there's 609 numbers for out of state. If
but,
you
oh
want
yeah,
those.
609 would be Southern Jersey.
Yeah, so the way I imagine it works is the 800 number only works in New Jersey, and the 609 numbers work everywhere else.
Is this New Jersey Department of Labor, or who's running it again?
Yeah, that is the New Jersey Department of Labor.
Oh, then my resume would not be there since I'm registered for work with.
Well, you never know. You know, resumes pop up in the weirdest places, but.
Yeah, well, I don't want to travel all the way to New Jersey.
Well, you can
well,
always look for someone with the same name. Uh-huh.
All righty. Thank you very much, Ed.
Thanks for calling.
Bye.
And for those of you whose curiosity was piqued by that last comment, the phone numbers for the State Department of Labor, this is public information, this came over the Associated Press. State Department of Labor in New Jersey has a new computerized system, first computerized system in the nation, that has all kinds of mini resumes. I don't know why they gave the phone number to it, but if you're in New Jersey, 800-772-RESUME, and if you're out of New Jersey, 609-984-1380 or 1381. And I've never called it. I don't know what you get when you call it, so hopefully somebody can reveal that information to us. Good evening.
Oh, good evening. I'm so glad I got on. I didn't think I would.
Makes your night, doesn't it?
Pardon?
It makes your night. I know the feeling.
Oh, it sure does. Listen, the call that came in for the last of the hand crank telephones.
Uh-huh.
What town? Was that in the state of Idaho?
Yes.
And can you tell me the town?
Oh, what was the name of that town? It began with an S. It was one syllable and it began with an S.
S?
I don't know, something like that.
But you don't remember the name of the town?
No, it just escapes me at the moment, but...
Is it anywhere near Ketchum, do you know?
I don't know Idaho either. I don't know the first... I don't. It's just kind of shaped weird, but that's about all I know about Idaho.
How can I go about finding out? Could I call you at a later date or a later time to find out?
Well, how would you go about finding out?
I'm inquisitive because I'm going to be going that way in the month of June through September.
Well, you know, the Idaho phone company out there? It's it would be, what, Pacific Bell or something?
I guess.
Whatever the phone company is out there, they should know. They definitely should know.
The telephone company.
Yeah. I mean, they do know these things, and I'm sure if you get a nice operator, they'll actually share that information with you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'll try it. And thank you for your program. It's very interesting.
And let us know what you find out.
I will.
Thanks for calling. Good evening.
Hello?
Yeah.
I'd like to find out about Risk Digest, which is a magazine you mentioned a couple of minutes or earlier in the show. You had some excerpts from it?
Right. Well, Risk Digest is available. It's a Usenet...
it's a Usenet feed.
Usenet newsletter. There's thousands of them.
And is it a hard copy thing, or is it a real...
No, you have to be on the Internet, which is a whole other show, really. It's basically a network of a network bigger than anything you could possibly imagine, and all the spans throughout the globe, and you can connect to all different kinds of systems and news feeds, and this is just one of the news feeds.
So it's a computer service, and it talks about the risks of technology, basically.
Right. Yeah, it's basically at the risks of technology. I'll tell you, if you connect to the Well, which the system we mentioned earlier in San Francisco. They're a system that has access to all those feeds. Also, any public Unix system you see floating around in New York. I think there's one called, The Point or something in New York. They're around. So you just have to look around a little bit, but you can find them.
I see. Well, I have some information from a lady who just called Shoup, S-H-O-U-P, Idaho, which is what I heard you say before.
Shoup, that is it. Thank you.
That is located in Lemhi, L-E-M-H-I, County in Idaho, which is... And it's north of the county seat, northwest of the county seat, which is Salmon. It's actually on the Salmon River, in fact. S-A-L-M-O-N is the county seat of Lemhi County. And so it's like in the eastern part of the middle of the state. You know,
uh-huh.
The state is sort of like vertical. It's almost like a chair.
It is a weird-looking place, isn't it?
Sort of in the right angle of the chair there.
Yeah.
And that's where Shoup is located. My map says the population is 12. However, this was like on the 1960 or 1970 census, so it may have grown some since then.
I was shrunk, yeah.
12 people, I guess you don't have too many phones and even too many party lines.
Or too many conversations. Thanks so much for calling. We're out of time.
Spoke too much anyway.
Okay, take care.
You too.
All right, we are just about out of time here. And before we go... final words from Fiber Optic. What's the future of hacking?
Future of hacking, can be grim if people let it disappear from their heads, but always remember that where there's a computer and a microprocessor, there'll probably be a hacker nearby.
Ah, poetic words to end on. Thank you very much for stopping by. And this is Emmanuel Goldstein. I'll be back in 2 weeks, God willing. And hopefully I'm not preempted again. And we'll see you again for another edition of Off the Hook. Good night. Stay tuned for the Personal Computer Show.